And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do it. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Welcome into the latest That SEC podcast, and we've got a special SEC Media Days edition for you guys. Once again, I'm your host, Michael Bratton, a.k.a. SEC Mike, joined by my cousin, Shane Sheridan, the big Tennessee homer. How's it going, Shane?
Going good, brother. How are you today?
A little worn out from all this SEC Media Days. We're halfway in, but, you know, it's a fun time because, you know, it's really... the biggest sign that SEC football is right around the corner. So as taxing as it is, just basically have to cover everything every person says at the event. But it's a lot of fun, and it just lets me know that the fall season is right around the corner, you know?
Oh, that's what I love. We were talking about that today. You know, because you go through the summer, you know, you're looking forward to fall. And then when SEC Media Days comes, even though – I will tell you, I don't like the format. I think it's a little boring, but it's exciting because it's football. It's right around the corner. The countdown went, you know, it just seems like it was 100 days last week, and now we're getting down to the car wash and the coaches, and I'm telling you what, I'm pumped up for some football.
Yeah, me too. And so on this episode, I really just kind of want to talk about my SEC Media Days ballot. I thought I'd start with that. So I've gotten a ton of reaction. I always put that out. You know, those always come out publicly at the end of SEC Media Days, but I like to get it out there before it starts just to have something to talk about during the event. So I'm just going to read my ballot off to you here, and we'll just go team by team and just give me your thoughts on each selection.
Let's do it.
All right, so for the SEC East, I think this is kind of an obvious one, but I've got Georgia number one. Do you take any issue or have any thoughts on that one?
Georgia? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, not even close. They are the king of the East, and I hate to say it because I am a Tennessee homer, but, yeah, I just don't see them not winning the East this year.
Yeah, and we've kind of both been on record that we could easily see that team going undefeated, and, you know, That's not to say that I really don't think that Georgia is necessarily like an automatic playoff team. I just think they are a very good team. I'm not 100% sold on Kirby Smart, but he did a tremendous job last year, so we can't sell him short there. And their schedule is just so easy for the most part. We went on that over that on a previous podcast, but I think it just more than anything is just the state of the SEC East is down outside of Georgia, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not even close, and like I said, it crushes my soul to say that, but they're definitely the team to beat.
Okay, so number two in the East, I've got South Carolina. I think that's another pick that almost everyone has. What do you make of that one?
Yeah, I would say if anybody is going to give Georgia a run, I'm thinking South Carolina. They got a great quarterback. You know, they got the defense. I like their schedule. You know, I could definitely see them upsetting a few, but, you know, it is Muschamp. So, you know, I got to rein back the expectations because he could also lose one that you weren't expecting.
Right, and that's kind of always the issue with him. You know, he's obviously had a lot of troubles with offensive coordinators during his time at Florida and now at South Carolina. He's revamped, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback coach. There's obviously a lot of optimism there, but that could all backfire on him just as well as go, you know, being a home run hire. So I don't think South Carolina is very close to Georgia, but I also think that the rest of the teams in the East, there's a gap between South Carolina and them. So in my opinion, Gamecocks are in kind of a no man's land there.
Well, doesn't it feel like South Carolina is one of those teams that you're not surprised if they do make a good run, but then again, you're not surprised if they just completely bomb.
Yeah, and I think that kind of speaks to just the East. I mean, this is a team that I think 95 out of 100 people are going to have South Carolina number two in the East, but I can't disagree with anything you just said there, and I think a lot of that is just because no one else is really sold on this division at this point.
I think it's more about the other teams in the East than it is how great South Carolina is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd agree. And so let's just go to my third team here, and this is the one that I've gotten the most flack for. Florida fans they assume that I'm just like hating on their program, but that's not why I picked this at all. I've got Kentucky number three. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think it's a bold take, but, you know, Florida being upset coming off
Four and seven. They had a game canceled.
4-7?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so 4-7. So they had a horrible year, and just to think that because you got a coach change, all of a sudden you're going to be competitive with the same talent. It's not like he brought his team with him. But Kentucky, I think when you pass Georgia and maybe South Carolina, then it kind of comes into, I think, more of the schedule and the amount of talent they have.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I like about Kentucky is the talent they got coming back. And you know what you're going to get with Kentucky. I'm not against it. I don't know. It's hard to predict who's going to be the third in the East. You know, I think that's the toughest bet there is right now.
Yeah, and a big reason that I like Kentucky going into this year, obviously there's a lot of continuity there. They've won back-to-back seven-win games, and that's coming off two back-to-back five-win campaigns. So this is a program that continues to build. Now, obviously, you know, I'm not saying Kentucky's going to win 10 games, but I could easily see them winning 7, 8, maybe even 9. 9's probably way too many, but, you know, I could see them in that 7 to 8 range. And I think in this division, I think that's good enough for third place. Whereas I do think Dan Mullen is a much better coach than Mark Stoops. He probably has more talent overall, but it's kind of like you said, it's not like flipping a switch, and this is not NCAA football. You know, it's not that easy. The players are going to have to acclimate to a new system on both sides of the ball. There's always games that trip you up. You know, I mean, Nick Saban at Alabama lost to ULM his first year. Kirby Smart, they should have lost to Nicholls State at home his first year. So there's going to be games where Florida is probably going to struggle with all new coaches on both sides of the ball. And that's why I have Florida number four. So it's not like I'm completely disrespecting them. I think they may be more talented than Kentucky, but there's the continuity's not there. Kentucky has played Florida very tight three of the last 4 years. I wouldn't even pick Kentucky to win that game head-to-head, but I wouldn't be shocked if Kentucky beats Florida head-to-head, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, they should have won last year, and I think Kentucky's got a better team this year. But the thing, too, with Dan, I don't think he's even sold on the talent he has. If you listen to him talk at Media Days, you know, I'm not saying he's saying rebuilding or anything like that, but it just – did you see when he had that recruit, he sent out that recruit talking about he's not convinced with the receivers he has?
Yeah.
Top notch.
I mean, that's a really good point, because Dan Mullen did speak at SEC Media today, and kind of his message was, I have two goals here at Florida. Obviously, the first one is to have a good year, but the second goal is to build a good program. And as soon as you start throwing out stuff like that, it's kind of like you said, where he's taken a bigger picture approach to the season. And I think that's because he knows he's so far off from Georgia. He's probably far off from South Carolina. So it would be kind of, I think he'd be putting himself in the corner if he, you know, not to say he's going to just surrender those games, but if he were to go out there and say, I expect to beat Georgia this year, I think he would face a lot of wrath for saying that when the Gators do likely lose that game.
Oh, for sure. And you know, coming from the West, he was surrounded by great teams. So he knows exactly what he has in the cupboard, you know. And I don't think he's – I think he got to see a little bit in the spring. You know, he's hoping these boys work out hard in the summer, but I think he's thinking about 2-3 years down the road more than he is this year.
Yeah, and 2-3 years down the road, I think if everything goes according to Dan Mullen's plan, I think Florida will be a really good team, but I just don't see it this year, so that's why I've got them number four. At number five in the SEC East, I've got Missouri. What are your thoughts on that pick?
We talked a little bit about Missouri the last time. I think they're getting a little too much hype because of the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can have some competitive games. I think they have potential to have a streak in the SEC and maybe even compete for one of the higher spots in the East. But I'm just not convinced. I mean, you got a new offensive coordinator. You've got
Dooley.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. And then they got this schedule. I looked at the schedule and the way it's set up in the middle, I really think that this is a team that could crumble midway through the season and then you don't hear anything else from them. So I think you're a little too high on Missouri. I think you're putting all your chips on the quarterback. Of course, they got I saw a video a little bit about the receiver today. I'm not really good with names, but, you know, he's a hell of a talent too.
Yeah, Emmanuel Hall, he's a good player, but last year he was a number two, so this year he'll have to be a number one. And, you know, that's an adjustment for some players, so we really don't even know how he will be as the go-to option on that offense.
Yeah, I'm just not convinced. I really think that they're going to be fighting Vanderbilt for that last spot, in my opinion.
Yeah, I could easily see that. So obviously we'll go down to my number six, and I've got Tennessee, which I know you're going to disagree with, but you know, I think that says more about Tennessee than it does Missouri in my mind, and it just kind of comes back to, you know, if you got issues at quarterback, offensive line, defensive secondary, and maybe the toughest schedule in the nation, with a first-year coach, first-year offensive coordinator, first-year defensive coordinator, I mean, it's gonna be rough. That's what I'm trying to say. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's hard to agree with you because I've been drinking that orange Kool-Aid for 36 years now. And every year's our year, you know. So, you know, it's funny. I was talking to, I put on Twitter the other day, you know, we think Tennessee knows this is a rebuilding season. We know to try not to expect too much. But the closer it gets, man, it's funny how it picks up. You're like, well, you start convincing yourself that you can beat West Virginia, and you're convincing yourself that Florida sucks ass and you're going to beat them, you know. But the truth is we really don't know what we have. And, you know, by that Florida game, I mean, that's make or break. I think that decides where we're at. You know, if we beat Florida and we get a good run at the start of the season, we do got that tough stretch, but we also got a back half of the schedule that we can, you know, build off of, potentially make a bowl game. I really think that if I were guessing Tennessee, I'm thinking Tennessee third, right behind South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more that I don't know what we have than, you know, the other teams.
Yeah, and that South Carolina game, obviously everyone's going to be picking South Carolina to beat Tennessee in that game, I would imagine. But that's a game that for the last several years has been very, very tight. They match up really well together. It doesn't really seem to matter where that game is. Tennessee can win in Columbia. South Carolina can win in Knoxville. So you make a good point. If Tennessee, let's say they upset Florida, which I don't think I'd be picking, but I would not be surprised at all. If they somehow found a way to beat South Carolina, that could give them a ton of momentum. They finish with Charlotte, Kentucky, Missouri. Those are all at home, and then at Vanderbilt. I mean, you're looking at, like I said, it's doubtful that they beat South Carolina, but if they did, you're looking at a 5-win streak to end the season, and that would give them a ton of momentum to go into the next year. So,
It's huge for recruiting too. I mean, if nobody thinks about what they say, they forget what you do in November. But if we have a 5-game stretch where we're just kicking ass, you know, we build up momentum, we get in a bowl game, they get the recruiting. Tennessee's on the rise, but then again, if you drop to South Carolina, then you potentially lose to Vanderbilt or one of these other suck teams, then the wheels are coming off and you're thinking about, did we make a mistake with hiring, you know, Pruitt, you know?
Mm-hmm. So we'll finish the SEC East with this. Obviously, I got Vanderbilt last. They're the only team remaining there. So I'm just not very high on Derek Mason. I think he's an outstanding defensive coordinator. But beyond that, I think that's about all he is. And, you know, his team started out 3-0, and then they dropped five in a row last year. And it was, I mean, that was all she wrote for them.
Yeah, they wanted Bama, all right. You never asked for Bama.
All right, let's jump to the SEC West. I've got, obviously, Alabama number one. Do you have any issue with that?
No issue. That cupcake schedule, I think that they're in the driver's seat in the West, no doubt.
All right, number two, this may surprise you. I've got Mississippi State number two. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I've been kind of buying into this Mississippi State thing, but – again, they lost their coach, you know, so I don't know. I think the hype's getting a little too – kind of reminds me of Tennessee a couple of years ago, and everybody's just saying they're going to be second in the SEC West. I don't think they will. I think that they'll start out strong. I think their schedule looks good, but after that Florida game, things get a little tight, and who knows what this new coach will do. I'm not convinced that they – I mean, to put them over Auburn, even LSU, I mean, it's going to take a couple games to convince me that they're legit.
Yeah, no, and I understand that. But just for my purposes, I think they may have the best defensive line. And, well, I shouldn't say best defensive. I think Auburn's going to have the best defensive line. But Mississippi State may have the best defensive linemen in Jeffrey Simmons. Montez Sweat, their defensive end, led the league in sacks last year. They have a cornerback that led the SEC in interceptions. From everything I've been told, Nick Fitzgerald is going to be good to go for the season. And even if he's not, Keaton Thompson led him to a bowl win over Lamar Jackson last year. So I think the quarterback position is going to be all right. They've got several good running backs. I like what they have on the offensive line. This team just kind of checks every box for me. They obviously do have to go to Alabama. That's going to be extremely difficult. And they drop Georgia from the schedule. They get Auburn at home this year. So it kind of lines up well for a good year. But like you said, we don't know about their new head coach, Joe Moorhead. Total wild card to the SEC. But I'm just a big believer in that players matter more than the coach. And I think they've got all the players there to excel. Unless, of course, there's serious injuries to that team.
Well, I will say, if you're coming into a new situation like Moorhead is, you definitely want – I would think you'd want a better defense than you do an offense. Because if the defense can keep you in the games, then, you know, you can work on offense situations and hopefully take a few. I think he's kind of lucky on that end because they do have a good defense. But I just, again, so many uncertainties and to crown them second in the West, I'm not convinced. And now this is July, you know, wait till we get through fall practice and stuff. And then maybe we can, you know, make sure nobody gets injured and then we can assess that. But I'm just not convinced at this moment that Mississippi State's going to be second in the West.
All right. So this may be another surprise to you, but my number three team in the West, I've got Texas A&M. What do you think about that?
Maybe. I do like where they're going. I think Jimbo is a great ad. You know, I don't know if he's, you know, 10 years contract, 75 million. I don't know if he's worth that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one thing they did talk about is making it a tougher team. And, you know, I think someone just tried to finesse a little too much.
Right.
And, you know, if he can make the games close, and who knows, they may pull a few. I wouldn't have them third. I would probably have Mississippi State third because, like I said, you kind of think Auburn's going to suck, don't you?
Yeah, we'll get to them in a minute. But I just think I like the talent on Texas A&M. I think, obviously, Kevin Sumlin just did not get the most out of that unit. You make some good points. You know, when they had to run the ball in key situations, they couldn't do it. When they had to stop the run in key situations, they couldn't do it. It's not to say that Jimbo Fisher is just going to come in and they're automatically going to be able to do those things, but I think he's going to add toughness to this team, and that was just seriously lacking in years past. I really like, the more I learn about their defensive coordinator, his name is Mike Elko. They got him from Notre Dame. And that Notre Dame unit, I've been studying them up from last year. They were really bad 2 years ago. This guy came in and basically overnight turned them into a solid unit. So I like the fact that he's done that. I think the talent is in place for him to do the same thing at College Station. So if they get that defense rolling, I think it's only a matter of time before Jimbo Fisher, you know, his system clicks with the new quarterbacks there, whoever it's going to be. And if they get that thing rolling by October, I think they're going to be one of the hottest teams in the SEC. That's why I've got them third. And we'll go to number four. You mentioned Auburn. I've got Auburn number four, which is as mad as Florida fans are from being behind Kentucky, Auburn fans are just as mad being down at number four.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a bold take. When you think Auburn, you saw – you know, they lost UCF. I don't think they were in it, but, mm-hmm. You know, they beat Alabama. Things were going good. They've actually got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't see the reasoning for putting them so low. They got they really do have the best defensive line, mm-hmm. in the SEC, not the nation, close with Clemson, you know.
Right.
And I think that's key. I mean, if you're controlling the trenches, you know, it's hard for me to be convinced that they're not going to be above Mississippi State or even Texas A&M.
Well, that makes sense because I agree with you. I think Jarrett Stidham, their quarterback, he may be the best quarterback in the SEC. I think they do have the best defensive line in the SEC. Those are probably the two most important positions on the field in college football, so they check those boxes. But unfortunately, for them, the rest is where I take issue with. I think Gus Malzahn's a little overrated. They lost four starting offensive linemen. I think that's huge in Gus Malzahn's offense because they're so dependent on that, you know, the spread option run, and that's key with the linemen, particularly when you don't have a quarterback. That Jarrett Stidham can run a little, but we've seen that offense is kind of limited without a quarterback that can run, and I think just how dominant that running game was last year kind of masked that a little bit. So how's that going to be look again this year with losing four offensive linemen, their top two running backs? They lost two key receivers in the spring to ACL injuries, and they obviously traveled to Alabama, to Georgia, and to Mississippi State, and I think those are the three best teams, or you could say that maybe three of the four best teams in the SEC. I could see them losing all three of those. And they open with Washington. I know we've touched on that before. Washington may be a legitimate top 10 team, maybe the best team in the Pac-12. If Auburn loses that game, it could start a little bit of a decline. Now, obviously, there's plenty of good players on that team, but I think there's enough issues there to make them kind of falter a little bit. And it just seems like when people are high on Auburn, they kind of disappoint. When people aren't expecting anything from them, that's when they rise up. So that's kind of why I got him down there. Malzahn.
That's Malzahn for you. You know, it's either he's making the playoffs or he's fighting for his job, you know. I was thinking, you know, because just earlier we were talking about Texas A&M, and, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, someone screwed that up. I mean, here they're coming off Johnny Manziel. Mm-hmm. They got momentum, 11-game win streak. I mean, you thought Texas A&M was going to be the thing, and then they fall through. And I was thinking to myself, is he one of the worst coaches I've ever seen? But I tell you what, man, there's a lot of people down there in Auburn that are divided. There's people that hate Malzahn. There's people that love him. And do you think he wished he took that Arkansas job?
Probably, but I think what happened was I don't know if he had a ton of interest in it. I think he kind of let that come out there so that he could get that huge job or huge contract from Auburn, get some job security, because it's very unlikely they're going to fire him at this point because they just gave him, I think, $56 million. But they got hosed, I think. Now, you know, I don't think he's a terrible coach. I don't think he's an elite coach. I think he's slightly above average. And they just paid him like an elite coach. And I think they're going to be left holding that bag before long.
Yeah, I'm with you there. There's just no buzz on Auburn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a little something every year, but this year it's just kind of like, well, the schedule's going to be tough, you know? I don't know.
All right, so my number five team, I've got LSU. What are your thoughts on that?
I tell you what, man. I was dogging Coach O the other day, and I saw him give his little presser, you know, and I could see why he got that job, because he's hard not to like. I mean, he's just a likable person. I'm watching him. I've watched just about every interview that they did down there at Media Days, and I've never been more tuned in than when Coach O's talking. Hell, he could be talking about the weather outside. I'm listening to everything he says. So if he can, you know, because I want to say he's going to be the worst team in the West, but I can't say that because I like him now. So I'm thinking that he's going to do better. I mean, he's got a hell of a recruiting class coming in. I don't think they can fire him. But, you know, if he drops four or five games this year, he's out. So I think he's coaching for his job this year. And if he can get those players to buy in like the fans are when they watch him talk, I think he could surprise people. I'm curious about their offense. I mean, you know, Canada was supposed to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He came in, and obviously that was a shit show. And then now he's like hiring his buddy, and he's saying, that's who I wanted to hire this whole time. You know, I'm like, that's just, it sounds like something I would say. I'm like, well, I wanted to hire my buddy, but they made me hire this great offensive coordinator, and he sucked. So I'm going back to plan B. So I'm really curious about LSU. I think they're the wild card. I really think that if the stars line up, man, they could really mess up the whole SEC, because they play some great games this year.
Yeah, and they're strong on both lines of scrimmage. But as you noted, the quarterback's huge question mark. Offense coordinator's a huge question mark. But I think they could have the best defense in the SEC. So if things line up, you could be right. But just for the reason, you know, everything I listed out, I just can't put them any higher than fifth at this point.
I'll tell you, and he's got four quarterbacks. You know, that's one thing that stood out. He says he's got four quarterbacks. He doesn't know who, you know, it's a competition. You know, the thing is, though, it's hard when you have two quarterbacks. It just, I mean, you never see any real teams make a push when they have two quarterbacks, nonetheless four. So I think Coach O, I hope he don't get, you know, caught holding the bag with this. You know, I think he should come out pretty early in the fall and say, hey, this is our guy, and stick with him, you know, because he's got to start building some I mean, when you're splitting reps with four quarterbacks, how can you build any type of rapport with your receivers?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be impossible. So, I mean, all the signs are there for a troubled season for them, for sure. Number six in the West, I've got Ole Miss. Any thoughts on that?
No, I'm with you on that one. I may even put them a step lower. But, I mean, what do they got to lose? They're just going to go out there and screw people's schedules up, I guess.
Yeah, and
if they win a game, does it count? Or is it just they can't make a bowl game?
Well, it counts, but yeah, they can't make a bowl game. They can't go to the SEC championship, so they've got nothing but pride to play for.
You know who they remind me of? Do you remember that movie with the armadillos? and they bring in the prison. Yeah. They bring in the prison gang, and they, you know, they beat them up and try to toughen them up. I think that's Ole Miss this year. Just play dirty and have fun, man.
So, last and certainly least, I've got Arkansas number seven. Any issues with that?
Arkansas. I would probably switch Ole Miss and Arkansas, but not by much. I mean, honestly, I think they're pretty bad shape, brother. Pretty bad shape.
Yeah, that, outside of their schedule, they don't have much going for them. Okay, so I've got Georgia winning the East, Alabama winning the West, and I've actually got Georgia, unlike most people are going to be picking Alabama, I've got Georgia winning the SEC championship. What are your thoughts on that?
Jeez, I tell you what, Georgia should have won last year. But, I mean, every time it seems like every time you go against Nick Saban, you know, he comes through. Like, people are talking about this may be a down year for him, but I don't know. I mean, how can you pick against Alabama? I hate them, but, you know, it's just they win every time. So I would go with Alabama. And, like, if I was gambling and you gave me some points, maybe I'd go with Georgia. Mm-hmm. But head up, I got to stick with Alabama unless, you know, unless something just tragic happens, you know. I can't see Georgia beating Alabama right now.
Well, the thing for me is obviously Georgia's had all offseason to think about that loss. So I think that's going to motivate them, particularly, you know, they probably know that if they make it to Atlanta, they're going to be facing Alabama once again. And similar to, you remember all those years ago when it was Alabama and Florida dominating the SEC, Tim Tebow, you know, they destroyed Alabama in the SEC championship game. Florida then went undefeated the following season, and they faced Alabama once again in the SEC championship game. Everyone was picking Florida, Tim Tebow's senior year, and Alabama just came out and rolled them. And I think we could see something similar because I just think there's that extra motivating factor. And, you know, we've touched on Alabama's weak schedule. I think that's a big reason why they'll make it to that SEC championship game. And I think Georgia will be the more – I think they're basically even on talent, and I just think they'll be the more motivated team going into that matchup.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, one thing, I think Alabama will be more focused. You know, last year they were looking ahead for the SEC championship and dropped it to Auburn. I think if, you know, Saban, I'm telling you what, he sticks to those details, and if he can get them focused against Auburn, I think that's my tale. If they kick Auburn's ass, then I think it's Alabama. But if it's a close game, or even, you know, I mean, if it comes down the wire, maybe a touchdown or two, then maybe I would lean more toward Georgia. But I think it's, I mean, that's way down the road. You know, a lot of things can happen. But you talk about exciting game. If you could get both of those teams in the SEC championship again, I think you're going to have a ton of viewers.
All right, so my favorite moment of SEC Media Days happened today. I'm going to try to play this audio clip. I hope it works. If it doesn't, we're going to have to scrap this section, but I'll just tell you. Let's try to see if this works.
Okay, we'll go back over here to the right on the aisle. Kirby, Lonnie DeMarie from Kentucky Sports Report. With Eason, Fromm, and Fields, have you ever been better stocked at quarterback? I've seen a better stocked situation at quarterback in your career.
Yeah, if we had all three of them, we'd be fitting. We'd be sitting pretty good. But Eason's gone. You know, he's transferred.
The dude did know Jacob Eason transferred like 3, 4, or 5 months ago.
That's freaking hilarious, man. You know, I wonder how Peyton Manning's going to do this year. You know.
how do you go to SEC Media Days and not know who's transferred and whatnot?
That's crazy, man. You know, that's like I hope Preston catches a lot of passes this year, you know. He's gonna do great in the Pac-12. No, that's hilarious. How do you get invited to Media Days, first off, and get allowed to ask a question? And you don't even know that the quarterback is transferred a year ago. That's ridiculous. That guy should never be invited again. He should be blackballed. Speaking of Media Days, do you think I'm watching it, right? I'm watching just a fan. I'm streaming it on SEC Network, and I don't like the setting. I think, you know, they send these media guys down there, and the coaches, they're trying their hardest to make jokes and shit. Nobody's laughing because they're all looking at their computers. And it's like, why is there no fans in there? Why don't they make it more a fan experience? You know, maybe even have a couple of them ask questions. I think that would be great because, you know, granted, media guys have been writing these stories since the end of the last season, you know, but the fans have been waiting for football, and this is like their first sign of football, and they're not even invited. They can't go in there and participate. I think that's just a joke. I think they should do something to make it more interactive.
They should have it at a bar and just drink with the coach.
No shit. That's it. Just take shots the whole time. You know, I think it would be great. I think if you could get some of those up there, I think you'd get you wouldn't get the same questions, the same boring-ass questions like, how do you think your offensive line's going to do? You know, I mean, who cares about the offensive line? I mean, I love them. I was one. The trenches is where it's at. But ask the hard questions, you know. Make the coaches a little uncomfortable. So, kind of like that McElwain, or, you know, last year with the Shark. We would get more those type reactions, I think, if we could get the fans involved.
All right, speaking of being blackballed from media days, I think you're going to want Aaron Murray to be blackballed after this comment, but the former Georgia quarterback, he made a comment on a Nashville radio station today down there at SEC Media Days. Now, you've not heard this comment you told me coming into this podcast, so I'm just going to...
I have not.
I'm just going to read what Aaron Murray said, and then I just want a Tennessee fan's live reaction, all right? So this is from Aaron Murray speaking about Jeremy Pruitt not being a great head coach in his mind. I don't know if his personality is fit to be a head coach. As a head coach, there's so many things that go into it. It's not just going out there and coaching. You have to deal with the front office. You've got to go talk with presidents of the universities. You have to deal with boosters. You have to deal with the offense, the defense. It's not just going in there and dealing with kids and scheming up. There's a lot that goes into it. I don't think he's the right guy to be the kind of CEO of a corporation. He's a really good game manager just on defense and being a defensive coordinator. He needs to prove to me that he can handle the whole ship. For right now, I don't think he can. We'll see what happens this year. I don't think it helps that he doesn't have a lot of talent at Tennessee. And that was his full quote there.
Well, Aaron can kiss my ass. I'll tell you, that's crazy. I mean, first off, Pruitt's never been in the situation, you know, and it's not like he's going to be coaching the offense. We have an offense coordinator for that. Now, if he's a good defensive guy, you know, he can control that side of the ball, we got somebody controlling the offense side, then I think that's kind of a ridiculous statement to say to a coach that's never been a head coach. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's kind of a...
I mean, I think some of those concerns are legitimate just because he's never done it, but at the same time, you know, his father was a coach. He's obviously worked with Nick Saban for a number of years. He's worked for Jimbo Fisher. He's worked for Mark Richt, some of the game's best coaches. And he's surrounded himself with people he trusts. And I think the biggest key for Jeremy Pruitt is that he was hired by Philip Fulmer, who's been in that room. He knows everything about winning in the SEC. So he's got that guy to lean on for things he's not comfortable with. And I think it really helps that Pruitt was a high school coach for so long because, you know, I think dealing with college athletes is probably got to be significantly easier than high school athletes. And I think he knows how to do both. So, I mean, I understand, like I said, I understand some of these concerns. But for Jeremy Pruitt, I think he's just been around the block and been in the SEC for so long that these things don't really concern me that much.
Well, and I don't want to compare Pruitt to Kirby. But same situation, you know, coordinator takes over a big job, you know, he struggled a little bit his first year, but now look, you know, he competed for national championship last year and you've even picked him to win the SEC this year, you know, so to go from a coordinator to head coach, is there a huge track record of that being successful? No, but, you know, like you said, he's got somebody in his ear that has won a national championship, that has ran a blue chip program for many years. And I think the things that he may not be comfortable with, he's got one of the greatest mentors right there with him, you know, on speed dial. So I think Philip Fulmer is going to help him quite a bit with the ins and outs of the business side of it. He just needs to focus on the field side of it, keeping these kids. And like you said, there is a real benefit to doing high school because these kids were in high school 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he could relate to the younger kids. And I have no problem with having a player's coach, you know. We've seen a lot of them be successful. And I think to just label him as a bad coach and he hasn't even coached one game, you know, I think that's a little premature.
So Tennessee speaks on SEC Media Days tomorrow. Anything, last note here, anything you're looking forward to from the Vols?
Well, no cliches, I'll tell you that right now. everything I've heard from Pruitt, you know, it seems real heartfelt, you know, like he's telling you what he really thinks, not something that he's wrote down before he came down there. I'm really interested to see what he has to say. I don't know, man. I don't want him to be like the other coaches because there's a lot of coach speak in this stuff, you know. I hope that he does open up a little bit, and I hope people ask him some tough questions that we have. You know, everybody's curious about Trey Smith. You know, I want to know what's going on with that. I wish we could give him some truth serum and ask the real questions, you know. How's Juwan Jennings doing? What kind of role are they going to have? Who's your quarterback? You know, so I doubt he's going to open up and tell us all that, but I just hope that what he does say is really authentic. You know, it's not just coach talk.
Well, that's a five-star heart comment right there.
Yeah, champions of life.
All right, Jay. Well, thanks for joining me again on the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
Go Vols.